We'll get going. Okay, if you don't have notes, we can hook you up. We got notes. Let's get started. No problem. It was repent of my sin, then it was remember my position in Christ, and then it was renew my relationship. So let's just talk real quick about recognizing my real problem. So I do what I want to do. So everything I do is actually a manifestation of internal desires. So what we really need to start asking ourselves, when I stumble into thinking evil, when I stumble into saying evil, when I stumble into acting evil, I need to ask myself, finish the phrase for me, what did I really... Okay, somebody tell me, why are we asking that question? Somebody tell me. By the way, the next 20 minutes must be interactive, otherwise we're going to fail, right? So speak up, because this is where we put it all together, right? So why should I ask myself that question? Sorry? Okay, so I'm not blaming other people. You said get to the root cause. Okay, there you go. Don't just take the manifestation for the real issue, because the manifestation could have a real root desire. Now, does anyone need the notes? Does anyone need a copy of the notes? Didn't get any notes, because Hillary can get you some. Do you guys need some notes? There we go, Hillary. All right, so really what you got is, I do what I do because I want what I want. So could people, and the reason being is because we could rush to some counseling that would just turn into good words but not the best words. Stop that. Or evil consequences are going to happen if you do that. Or whatever else we could come up with. And we may not even counsel them for the real issues. So for example, could people steal for different reasons? Yes or no? Some people steal because they just want the stuff. Some people steal because they want the thrill of the kill. Some people steal because they want people's approval because they have this stuff. And so what could happen is the kid that's stealing, you could say, and the whole reason he's stealing to get clothes so he can look cool. And you go up and say, hey, nobody likes a thief, right? Isn't that a true statement? Does anyone like a thief? Nobody likes a thief. But is that really the best motivation to get the kid to stop stealing? Yes or no? No, what power is that? All he does is he switches it. So you go, hey, nobody likes a thief. And the kid goes, oh, nobody likes a thief. Everybody likes somebody who can give stuff or works hard. So he sells his soul to his job, and he gets 5 jobs, and he climbs the corporate ladder, and never once did Jesus enter in the equation. But he stops stealing. That's our goal is not just to make people stop stealing. Our goal is to help people walk with God. And so what we begin to realize is that my manifestations have a root cause. And at the core, those desires reveal that I've got a wrong view of who? Got a wrong view of God. And even that, I think that sometimes if we don't take the time to figure out the idol, we might really emphasize one aspect of, you know, like I was talking to you last night, guys. I was talking to you about that kid that was looking at pornography because he wanted acceptance And so there he is looking at acceptance. So anytime someone emphasized the holiness of God, he'd just go like, oh, I'm rejected. And he'd go back to his idol. But you could flip it. I've known people looking at immoral things that really they're doing it because they just have a low view of the holiness of God. And you're like, God forgives and God loves. And they're like, I know. you know, that's why you got to get down to what is really driving it so you can really showcase what attributes of God are they not really seeing. And then what we did is we said, let's repent of our sin. But remember our position in Christ. So it's not just moralism. We're not just telling somebody stop it. We're actually telling them how they can stop it through Jesus Christ. So let's just talk through. I'm gonna blitz through these. Remember my position in Christ. I'm gonna get down to the last question, which is renew our relationship. And I want you to help me come up with some homework to help somebody renew their relationship with God. Because I think we can all give ourselves self-homework, and I think we can all help other people with some assignments that would really help them cultivate a love for God that's greater than the love for their sin. So somebody give me a manifestation of sin, right? Now, it's not yours. I know it's not yours, right? And it's not your wife or your spouse or anybody else, but give me a manifestation of sin. So somebody just give me one, all right? Give me one. Lying, all right? Lying. Let's just make sure we're all on the same page. Anyone here ever lie? Okay, just checking, all right? So what do we ask ourselves? There's a lie. Tell me real quick. We're just going to counsel ourselves through lying, okay? We're going to counsel ourselves, and we're going to get all the way down to this last point about renewing my relationship, and we're going to come up with some homework assignments for us to take away to help us not be deceitful. So what is some bad, what's some good counsel but not the best counsel? Help me out. Somebody's lying. And now, let's just say it's an employee. So it's an adult who's lying, and they're lying to you on the job, right? Does that ever happen in America? I can't believe it. All right, so someone's lying on the job. What's some good counsel, not the best counsel? Come on, guys. We got like 12 minutes. Just go quick. Yeah. Okay, so we could actually just rationalize it and never even get to the issue. Okay, there you go. That's one. That's actually bad counsel. That's not even good counsel. That's missing the good best counsel. That's just flat out bad counsel. All right, give me some more good counsel, not the best counsel. Okay, don't you understand? If you don't stop lying, you're going to lose your job. Now, it's consequential. That's true. That's good, but it's not really getting to the root. Let's say this is a Christian too, right? Just to make it easy. So no, kind of eliminate all of our little complexities. All right, what else? Thou shalt not lie. Just flat out go, that's a prohibition, dude. You'd stop it. Basically, you're saying stop it. Now, isn't that true? Yeah, that's true. Shouldn't he stop it? Yes, he should stop it. Shouldn't that in one sense be sufficient? Yes, God spoke it. But what do we usually miss in that moment? Yeah. So he's like, okay, stop it. Well, I'm trying to stop it. All right. So what do we try to get to eventually? And by the way, I mean, there's sometimes just consequential, and the work analogy kind of breaks down actually, because probably if you're lying, you need to be fired. Okay, so let's just pretend the analogy works in all things. And there's times I have people that work for us that I'm just like, you know what? If you're going to keep doing that, it's not going to work here. You need to grow up and figure out why you're doing what you're doing. But I'm not going to take all that time with you right now. Okay, there are times like that, aren't there? But this is someone we love, this is someone we care about, this is someone we have a relationship with, this is someone who we're trying to help. So what are we trying to do? If we're really trying to help them, all the other ramifications have happened. Now we're really trying to help this kid or this adult stop lying. So what do we do now? What do we ask them? Why are you lying? Or say it the way we've been saying it. What did you really want? Why did you lie? Well, they'll be like, I don't know. But if you ask, what did you want when you lied? Okay? Just tell me, what are some things that people want when they lie? Okay, they don't want conflict. What else? They want tension. So a negative, they do not want. They lie, they exaggerate, they say something bigger because they want the attention. What else? They don't want somebody to know. They're trying to cover something. Okay, they want to procrastinate something. Okay, they wanna get attention. They wanna look good. So which one do we want to take? He lied because he wanted to avoid trouble. All right. There was an incident, something got dropped, something broke, whatever. Okay, he lied because he wanted to avoid trouble. Now wait a second though. Does that go deep enough? What did you really want? Well, I just want the boss to like me. Okay, should we stop there? Or should we ask more? Why do you want the boss to like you? Well, because I want a raise. Why do you want a raise? I just want to get that house. Why do you want to get the house? Because I just think it'd be awesome to have the house. So it's kind of gone its full circle, right? So he really wants this. He doesn't want to lose the job because he wants more cash, because he wants this possession. So what does he really want? Does he want more? Does it really sound like, what is it? It's got a little bit of filterings of it all, doesn't it? He wants the pride of life. He wants people to think well of him. But ultimately, this dude's motivated by cash, the lust of the eyes. He wants stuff, doesn't he? Okay, what does he not believe about God and getting stuff right now? He doesn't trust God, does he? So if he told the truth, he can't trust God with his stuff, can he? What else does he not believe? God doesn't satisfy. He actually wants a house to satisfy. What else? God's not in control. What else? Maybe God loves him. Maybe you know, it's like the whole story, you know, we can make this up, but who knows what happened in his growing up? Who knows what he's bringing baggage to the table? But here at the core, what we're starting to figure out is that this guy doesn't believe that God is going to take care of him, right? And ultimately, because of that, he loves himself and he's his own God, right? So who's going to, if God won't take care of me, who's going to take care of me? Okay, how do you guys do in taking care of yourself? Yeah, and so here he is. He's caught in this circle. I got to take care of myself because God doesn't take care of myself. God doesn't love me. God is not in charge. And so what we begin to realize is that the root of sin is found in this wrong view of God, and this guy doesn't believe that God is going to take care of him. And this guy loves himself rather than God. And so what we need to do is somewhere in this transition is we want to renew our relationship by filling my mind with truth from the Bible about God. So I want to study passages that describe God's character and his attributes. So here's this guy who really struggles in trusting God. Does anyone have an idea of an assignment that we could give him or an attribute of God that we could begin to study or something that we could do? Anyone have a suggestion? Okay, let's take an easy one. What if we said, hey, how are you doing in your Bible reading? Oh, not that good. Hey, would you be willing just to go like, you know, it takes about 21 days to really start a habit. It doesn't mean you're going to keep it forever, but man, if you go 21 days in a row, I mean, it really starts getting it in there. Hey, would you consider meeting, you know, there's that McDonald's right on the way to work. Would you consider meeting me there for 40 minutes before work, and we get a little order. I'll get your coffee, man, and we'll just sit down, and this is what I want to do. I want to read a psalm with you a day, and I want to find out attributes of who God is, because you know at the core? I want to show us that we can trust God. You know, right away I thought of a book. It's by Jerry Bridges. It's called Trusting God, and it takes three attributes of God, God's sovereignty, his love, and his wisdom, and just does a deep study on those things. Wouldn't it be good for him to realize that God loves him, God's in control, and God's wise? You see what we're doing here? What are we doing? We're trying to take the word with specific attributes of God and leverage it into his life. Okay, let's stop talking about our dude. How many of you can think of some area in your life that is a little bit broken? Okay, I've got a question for you. Why is it that we're quick to come up with counsel for others, but we won't talk to ourselves? I mean, I'm telling you, I got really convicted in college about some real slothfulness. And you know what I did? I just said, I got to understand. So I went to the Proverbs, and I just went through all the Proverbs, finding anything there was about slothfulness really disrepair and all this. And I went through and I got this list of like, I think it's like 28 verses. And I just worked my way through that because I wanted the word to leverage in my life. Okay, can I tell you an attribute of God in my life that I've really struggled with? I've really struggled with God's love for me. And you know what? God's really used 1 John chapter 4 just to drive that home in my life. You know, I think some guys that struggle with really living righteously as a single guy could be really benefited by doing a study of Joseph and seeing the attributes of God in the life of Joseph. So anyone else want to suggest a piece of the word that we should suggest to this guy? Anybody else got something? Yeah. And that'd be a great one just to do a little study of. And basically it's about 20-some verses, and it opens up, and it searched me, O God, and he just starts talking about how God is in front of him, God's behind him, God sees everything, God knows everything. I mean, what a great study. In fact, have you ever noticed this? Look, seriously, have you ever noticed that all of the word is good word? I mean, just getting God's word into our life in a specific manner, studying passages that describe God's attributes and character. Okay, don't tell me what your issue is, and don't tell me what your idol is, but tell me what attribute of God would be good for you to really study out. All right, give me like five of you. Just go, you know what's the attribute of God? If somebody were paying my bills for a week, And they said, you've got to take, rather than go to work, you got to stay home and study one attribute of God. Which attribute of God would you be most served in really studying out, right? Tell me, which one for you right now in your life, what attribute of God would you be best served studying? God's faithfulness, his sovereignty. What else? That he loves. What else? I heard another one. Okay. He's righteous. Man, wouldn't we be different people if we got aggressive like that? And wouldn't we be different people if we just said, you know what? I'm tired of not knowing my God. I'm tired of just hearing about God. I want to know God. I don't want to just go through the motions. I want the word of God to be leveraged into my heart. And so what we begin to realize is that some of us are after this mythical victory. You know what we really want, guys? We want life. We want temptation-free life without God. That's what we want. It's like we want this mythical victory where I'm never tempted again. But let me tell you something. Just because you pray, just because you study a passage, doesn't mean that you won't be tempted again. But you know how you fight this? Is really the Lord fights it through you, through his spirit, and through his word. We need to arm ourselves for battle. Because as we begin to renew our relationship with God, all of a sudden we see a manifestation. Can I tell you guys something? That I am not what I was even a couple years ago. I know it. God's just done a work in my life, okay? But I still struggle with the same fears. It's just that trial, what it's done is it's given me eyes to see my fears a little bit quicker. You know what I mean? So you see it a little quicker. So you get to the root. Like, why did I say that? Why did I say that about that person? You know why I said that? Because I'm afraid. Why am I afraid? Because I don't think God loves me. And so what happens is the reboot is quicker. Any of you remember some of the old school computers? You turn it on, and I mean, it was like you could go make a cup of coffee by the time it would, like, boot up. And then if you hit the blue screen of death with Windows, you're like, oh, this is going to take me forever. And so you'd hit reboot, and then you'd go, and maybe some of you do a whole load of laundry and come back, and it's just now finally coming up. Have any of you gotten a newer computer that's got, like, solid state? It doesn't have a hard drive anymore. It's got just solid state memory. And so anyone gotten a computer like that? My newest computer, okay, so my last one lasted 5 years. I got a new computer, and it has solid state rather than a hard drive. It's got solid state. So I'm telling you, from zero to, like, ready to go, it is like maybe 10, 15 seconds. I mean, I open it up, and I mean, it's right in front of me. Boom, boom, boom. It's ready to go. I'm like, I love it. But do you know that's really what the Christian life is like? Can I tell you, until you get to heaven, you will always have to reboot. The prayer and the hope is that the reboot time shortens. Does this make sense? So do you know what? You're going to struggle being angry with somebody in the next 24 hours. I get it. Okay, some of us shouldn't laugh like that. I get it, okay? But hopefully from the point of anger to the point of repentance, to remembering your position in Christ, to remind yourself of God's sovereignty and his love and his wisdom, hopefully it's going to be shorter, right? Okay, by the way, this should cause hope. I think sometimes what happens is we get in this setting right here, and some of us are like, yeah, I knew I was a loser. The guy up here just verified I'm a loser, and I'm going to go home a loser. Jim, nothing I say that applies to everyone else applies to you, right? It's just like, you are your own case. I've got to take you, and we got to talk deep another time. I don't have time for you right now. I got to talk to all these people. So keep your issues to yourself, right? So really what the whole point is that I don't know what the point is because Jim messed me up, right? No. I know what the point is. The point is this, guys. The goal is not to be perfect. Do you understand what I just said there? Christ is perfect. The goal is to live out this life we have in Christ and to obey. And you mess up, and then you go, you know what, Lord, you saw this. This has always been a portion of me. I just made this choice. Would you please forgive me? And Lord, I want to live for you. I want to live for you. And next day, I want to live for you. Next day, I want to live for you. Otherwise, some of us are pursuing this whole thing that's not supposed to be there. So I suggest, but build a biography of God. Listen to sermons and Bible teaching. You know what? I love getting a series of sermons, and I just listen to all sorts of folks, man, all over the gamut. And I'll listen to, and sometimes I'll stop listening because, like, man, they're just whiffing it or something. Then I'll get a different series or whatever. But just get a sermon series and just plow through it. You know, a lot of you, because of the type of work that goes on in Elko, you will have some sort of a commute. So get some earbuds or something, or you've got seasons where you can just listen to sermons or Bible teaching or, but we want a heart that loves and enjoys Christ more than sin. It's not just that we learn facts about God, but we actually figure out what robs us of our joy. I mean, there are certain things I should just never watch. There's certain things I should never listen to. There are certain things, and you know what? It may be different on your list, but you should be big enough to figure out what kills your joy. And stop lying. Stop lying. Just be honest. And if it kills your joy, then get rid of it. Meditate on the sacrifice and triumph of Christ. I mean, really knowing Christ. I mean, it just stirs your heart up. When you think of Christ, God, coming to this earth, dying for your sin. I mean, what if you just read a little piece of the Gospels and you just chewed on it? You just thought about Jesus dying for you, being buried for you. These things hit the affections. These things stir us up. But then we really must develop a disciplined yet devotional pursuit of Christ. Every day we got to get more of the word in. You know why? Because every day we drift. Do you know we are perpetually out of alignment? If we don't have God's word, like fine-tuning the alignment, we just drift into the ditch, either side. So really what we're trying to do is this whole thing. It's just really, you can look at it three ways. Actually, this is just a model of sanctification. This is actually just a theology of sanctification. How is it I can grow? It's also a way that I can counsel other people. If someone talks to you and they got an issue, right away you could just be thinking, whoa, okay, repent this sin. What do they really want? What do they not believe about the God? What is it? How is it they love themselves more than Christ? Okay, now repent of the sin. All right, now remember your position in Christ and now renew your relationship. You could actually, by the way, you could help somebody, guys. You really can. And by the way, churches need just lay people helping lay people. But then, you know, you could help yourself. I mean, you could really, by God's grace, just pursue them and go, you know what, I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want to enjoy you. Why is it? What did I really want when I said that? What is it I really want when I did that? What did I really want? What do I not believe about God? How can I cultivate a real understanding of who God is? You know what? May God help us just to be a little bit more different tomorrow than we are today. Amen? So hopefully this will be a help to you. And you got that little handout. Use it, guys. Use it. There's no copyright on the gospel, so let's go for it. All right, let's take a little break, and we'll come back in just a minute. And Jim, I'm sorry.